How are you? Oh, people are already in the live chat telling us where they're watching from without even me asking. People know what to do. Great, great, great,
they know
great.
What time it is. So they know what time it is.
They know. Yeah, so look, Kian is watching from Belgium. Spacilla is watching from Sweden. Hammers Injure is watching from USA. Sheikha is watching from India. Imran is watching from Canada. Zaid is watching from Jordan. That's amazing. By the way, you mentioned Zaid is here, so I have to mention this. We are going to talk more about the whole stuff that's happening in Gaza more on the show with Secular Rarity, with Elias. So if you guys want a more deep analysis on different sides of this and how we think about this and analyzing how other people think about this, make sure you subscribe. And hit the bell notification because there's a lot of bad takes, a lot of horrible takes on the situation. So yeah, come here for proper takes if you want. Yeah, for me and Elliot. So we'll have that. And also, yeah. So Susie, what for people who are new here, we are going to be covering religion related news from all around the world. Usually we have 9 or 10 news that we cover every week here. So if you like that, please make sure you like and subscribe and hit the bell notification. We do this every week. What countries are we covering today?
Oh my gosh, we got the US, India, California, a juicy thing coming out of California, Nigeria, kind of the Middle East in general, Israel, but not related to the recent conflict, and Japan.
Oh, wow. Oh, we have news from Israel that is not related to this conflict. Wow.
Well, because here's the thing. You know, there's a lot that we could... One, obviously, the war has absolutely dominated the news cycle. But I didn't want to make the show all about that. But luckily for me, right before the war broke out, the Associated Press released a lengthy multi-part series examining non-religious movements around the world, and they have so many different segments that we actually can't even cover all of them this week. We're going to cover more of these segments from the Associated Press next week. So amazing. I think one, it's amazing to see the Associated Press do an entire like portfolio project about non-religious movements around the world, talk about showing global secularism, which is our movement, our mission. But also, I thought it would be nice because there is already so much hard stuff happening in the world. So most of what we're going to talk about today is very like, let's just talk about atheists around the world this week.
Yeah.
Really?
That's good. I like
so
that.
Yeah, it's yeah. We have like one or two stories that are a little bit heavier that are important to cover, but most of this is just like a very fun, light week for the most part. And I think we all need that. I don't know about you.
Yes,
past week has been extremely heavy on my heart and mind. I just have the personality type where this affects me deeply. And to that end, I would like to share something with our audience that helped me, and maybe it will help you guys. And basically, I was watching this video from this rabbi who happens to give very good marriage advice, but that's besides the point. and basically, he was saying that when you feel just so consumed by how much darkness there is in this world, like what you need to do is go be the light for someone else. So basically, guys, if you have the opportunity to do something nice for another human, however small, it will help make you feel better. It will help make you feel better. And this isn't just some like woo-woo, let's all be kumbaya stuff. There's actually psychological weight behind this. When we be of service to others, we're actually being of service to us because we get such a psychological reward from it. So guys, that's my little positive message of the week. Go be the light in someone else's world if you can. It helps give me comfort. And I hope it can give you guys comfort. What do you think about that?
We're good. Yeah, that's good. I like the way you think about these things, as usual. Positive notes. Erkin is talking about positive notes. Erkin is saying, all Arminists and Susanists unite. Thank you so much, Erkin, for the super chat. Makes me actually wonder, wouldn't it be more interesting if we had a civil war in the live chat between Arminists and Susanists?
We have enough war going on this week. We don't need, Armin, we don't need competition because you and I are on each other's side 150%.
It would be fun.
No.
I know. We could be on each other's sides, but our supporters could fight with each other just for our amusement. No. We could have a competition. Or could, no, it's okay. I'm kidding. Oh, no, unite, unite, unite. Yeah. I think you would win that battle. Hey, that's not nice, Sheikha. We talked about being nice here, Sheikha. That's what.
Yeah, she's kind of saying Susanninists are low IQ people, which is really amusing, Sheikha, considering that you talk about how you want there's not enough women in our community. And you want more female representation of atheists, but yet you take this opportunity to take a shot at me, a woman.
Right at the beginning of the show.
Interesting.
Right at the beginning of show, have to just give us negative energy. Like all the people here are trying to lift us up and give us positive messages. And this is what you... Okay, you're saying this again? You continue to say that? I feel like putting her on timeout. Can I put her on timeout? I feel like banning her at some point because she just comes here and just. Can I just, Sheikha? If I see one more message like that, I will because Susanna comes here and puts dedicates her time for you and this. You know, can I just ban her?
If you want, well, she said no. She said you asked for that.
Okay, I'm just gonna ban it. Oh, she's saying sorry. Okay. It's okay. Sheikha, Susanna comes here and just gives you her time. And I think she needs to be told that she's valuable. And, she doesn't get much back for all what she does. Okay. I just want you guys to tell her mention that in live chat, okay?
Oh, just mention it in live chat.
Yeah. Sir, I feel bad. Okay, it's okay. I'm okay. Fine. That's good. that's
good. Thank you.
Sheikha. All right. Yeah, I know I know she probably doesn't mean it. I just get upset very fast because people don't know how much Susanna puts, how much work she puts into this, right? Sorry, maybe that's my fault, That's my fault. Sheikha, I'm not going to blame you. I was joking about civil war and stuff. I'm just going to take full responsibility for what I said. Susanna was putting positive energy. I joked around with civil war. That's completely my fault. Sheikha, you're not to blame. I'm just going to take all that on me. Yeah, that's my fault. It's completely my fault. I'm not going to do that again. I can't even joke around here. All right. She took it too seriously. Sheikha took my joke too seriously. All right. it's okay, Sheikha. We love you.
Oh, my God.
I got too upset. There we go. Sheikha is making up for that. Without you, AR wouldn't have reached where it is today. Okay, there you go. That's good. That's positive energy. Positive energy.
All right. Thank you.
Let's get to our news. Let's get to our first news. Oh, my God. Why is this? This is horrible news. Are we starting with this?
Okay. We are starting out with the difficult news, but it is important. And then besides this, the vast majority of our news is very interesting and positive.
This has not been a good week at all for the world, and You know, I think like I it's taking like I know I'm trying to like keep a positive energy here, but back on the Persian channel, I have been exhausted. There's too many. There's, you know, luckily most Iranians are taking the right positions, unlike other countries in the Middle East, right? Which I actually want to mention this right at the beginning of the show, which I how grateful I am. You know, I try not to be like, ooh, like, I don't like people celebrating members of a country just because they share the same country with them. I feel like we have to celebrate everyone in the world. So I'm not saying this. I genuinely hope you believe me when I say this, that I'm not saying this because I happen to be Iranian as well. But I am genuinely so happy that we have a country with more than 85 million people. And in the Middle East, where so many bad takes are coming out of different countries around the Middle East, right? You know, there just seems to be morally, that place seems to be morally bankrupt. Like, we have had slaughtering of Jewish people, the greatest number of it happening since World War II. And people are celebrating that. People are celebrating that. Like, it's so hard to see how this is still possible, right? I mean, even the back in World War II, where, you know, the Yahtzees, I see Yahtzees because of YouTube being sensitive, they tried to hide that. They knew what they were doing was so evil. They didn't want to let Germans know what they were doing. They didn't even want to let most of the people that work for the government to know what they were doing. But now we're seeing people these are people that if they had the means, they would commit what happened in World War II like 10 times over, right? Much more than what happened in World War II. You know, you could see what they get away with just the little resources they have. Mm-hmm. But they don't hide it. Like, unlike the Yazis, they don't try to hide it. The Yazis knew what they were doing was evil. That's why they hid it from the world. These people live stream it. These people record it and post it. And the reaction is celebration of it. It's just pure evil. I don't understand how this is possible. But then among all this darkness in the Middle East, we have one country where most people seem to understand the right position. And this is why it's such a tragedy that this country with this people have the Islamic Republic as their government. You know, because if there was one ally of secular democracy and freedom and liberalism and normalization of agreements with their international community, it would have been Iran. If it didn't have the government mm-hmm. that it currently has. Mm-hmm. But instead, we get the total opposite, which is like, I think, you know, the Islamic Republic ruling over Iran has, and it's the biggest missed opportunity, I think, in the history of the world. And I'm not exaggerating, given what that country could have become, but economically, value-wise.
A global superpower. It could be. But its government, right. Even outside of the sanctions forced upon it, its government refuses to let Iran be the superpower that it could be.
Yeah, but and if it had its hands untied, if the people of Iran were free, it would have not just meant secular democracy for Iran, but it would have affected the whole Middle East just in the same way that the Islamism of Iran right now Islamized the entirety of the Middle East. You know, I think if it was secular democracy, it would have led a movement in the Middle East for secular democracy, which is, and also I just want to also let people know that we need to advertise this as much as possible, that with the Islamic Republic of Iran, we can see, because it's the Islamic Republic who supported Hamas. It's the Islamic Republic that made Hamas what it is today, right? So you know, all these Western powers constantly trying to figure out how to bring, you know, peace in the Middle East and stability and get normalizations of relationships between these different countries. With, you can't do that with the Islamic Republic there, you know. No matter how much you try, it's so easy for them to come and just break everything.
Destabilize everything. The path to peace is revolution in Iran.
Right. Exactly. Perfectly said. That's perfectly summarizes. Amazing. As
well, usual. I mean, I didn't come up with that myself. It was a lawyer in Canada, Kahan something. Kahan something. He said the path to peace in Israel and Gaza is revolution in Iran. The path to peace in Lebanon is revolution in Iran. The path to peace in Syria is revolution in Iran. The path to peace is dot, dot, dot. And I was like, nailed it.
Yeah.
But that being said, I just really quickly. Before I read the super chat, I just want to say, guys, let's try to not have the comment section be just Israel, Palestine, blah, blah, blah. Like, if you're spamming it, I'm going to put you in timeout. If you, like, if you say things once or twice, like, I'm going to try to let it fly. But I don't want the live chat today to just be Israel, Palestine. A lot of people want to come here to hang out with our community and escape that. Just have a good hour or two not thinking about this. So let's, like, just try to, you know, have fun as a community together and take a break from how heavy the world is. How about that? So
we got a super chat.
GJ gave us a super chat, a big super chat. Thank you for the 22 euro super chat, GJ. And he's saying, let me give you and Atheist Republic a super chat to celebrate my fellow Dutchman, Max Verstappen, becoming auto racing champion of the world in Formula One last week for the third time in a row, fifth in history to achieve this. Well, shouts out to, you know, your fellow Dutchman and anyone else who watches F1. Okay. Yeah. And Music Lover did use his celebration of 1 month membership to support Israel. Like I said, I would like to make the live chat not Israel Palestine this week, but you are a member. So thank you for being a member.
Yeah. But I agree with the Music Lover though. So it's Israel is a nation state and we should support its right to exist. Okay. So can we? Oh, we can't. Never mind. We can't clap for the first.
This is probably our worst news this week. And then besides this, it's just going to be, let's talk about atheists from around the world. Okay?
Okay. All right. So, guys, just bear with us.
Oh, but I am going to get heated about this. So, if you like to see that kind of thing, stay tuned. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Okay. First news. 14-year-old Texas teen choked by mother for not wearing hijab in social media post. In Kingwood, Texas, a disturbing incident highlighting the grave implications of honor violence came to light when a Muslim woman, Sitar Mazhar Khan, was arrested for allegedly assaulting her teenage daughter. Honor violence, deeply rooted in various cultural and religious communities with conservative traditions, is driven by the motive to safeguard or reclaim perceived honor. Such acts often revolve around victims' behaviors that are deemed to breach cultural or religious norms. In this case, Khan reportedly assaulted her 14-year-old daughter after seeing her without a hijab on Instagram, an act she might have perceived as dishonorable. Okay, guys, and I just want to say that in a second, there's going to be a pretty bad description of childhood abuse, so if this is triggering for you, just want to give you a heads up. The hearing officer stated the defendant, upset that the complainant did not wear her hijab at school, beat and choked the complainant, causing her to lose consciousness. Additionally, Khan is accused of burning her daughter for overcooking pita bread. This tragic incident serves as a reminder of the continuous presence and dangers of honor violence, even in Western nations, with victims often targeted for actions that are deemed to violate deeply held cultural or religious norms. Oh my God. So I really wanted to talk about this news. I think it is very important to talk about stories like this, because a lot of people don't know and they don't understand that honor violence happens in the United States. And before we dig into this, I want to make a few things clear. Okay. She has not been found guilty. These are charges brought against her in a court of law. So at this moment, everything we describe is alleged. And I just want to, you know, that's how the system of law works here. These are allegations against her. And I also want to make something else clear. When the police reported on this, when American media reported on this, they did not frame this as honor violence. I would like to make clear that it is my assertion and belief that if these allegations are true, they likely happened from the basis of, you know, lack of honor, a desire to get back honor. So I just want to, you know, I want to be clear about what is our angle and then how other people are reporting it, right? I think that's responsible. And it makes me so upset as an American to know that there are children that are citizens in my country that are exposed to this level of harmful tradition. I'm very happy to see that the authorities are taking this seriously. I don't know if they're framing this in their own internal investigations through the lens of honor violence. I hope that they are. And I'm also very frustrated to see that in a few different places where this was reported on, they don't highlight the fact that she was choked unconscious for not wearing hijab. Like there were several news sources that would bury that in the article. And I think, again, I speculate that this is an effort to not demonize a certain community. I would say that if we are not honest about the behaviors, the harmful traditions that occur in certain communities, and if we don't call it out, then they're not going to end. And if that's true, then we're failing to safeguard children and vulnerable citizens. I want to read this comment by Zaid. He said, if it's about hijab, of course it's about honor. Most Muslims don't care what Allah thinks, they care about what other Muslims think of them. Ooh, collectivist cultures do be like that. But Armin, I remember when I first found out about this news, I came to you like that same day and I was talking about it. And what's your reaction to this?
Well, I mean, this constantly keeps happening. It's not by accident that I think this is obviously honor-based, right? Like if you don't want to categorize this honor-based, like hijab is honor culture, is modesty culture and honor culture. So any parental violence towards their children over not wearing hijab is honor violence, right? And I think, you know, correlation is not always causation, but correlation really, really, really hints at causation, especially if you could identify the cause, like if you could explain the cause, you know, or if you could show the correlation. And also, you have a good theory that has explanatory power and doesn't contradict other data that you have, then in that case, your correlation does very much suggest causation. And the correlation is that this constantly happens more. And I'm not saying it just based on stories that we cover, based on statistics, right? Based on scientifically collected data, there is a very, very high correlation between these types of violence and abuse and Islam, Islamic communities. So in this case, Islam is the cause, for sure.
I think when I first found out about this news, anyone that follows me on Instagram, by the way, link is in the description, probably saw me post about this on my stories. Because I was saying, like, yes, honor violence does happen in America. There's not a lot of awareness about this. And a lot of times when instances like this happen, a lot of PC progressive types kind of want to pull the wool over their eyes and, like, act like what they're seeing isn't exactly what they're seeing. And so I posted this on... I had so many thoughts about this, and I wrote this and I posted this on my stories. And I think it really just summarizes the way I think about it. I said, vulnerable people will always be abused wherever harmful traditions follow. We must never abandon our duty of care and protection to the vulnerable in the name of cultural sensitivities or, quote, hurt religious sentiments. When we, the so-called Westerners, free societies, whatever you want to call it, etc., do so, we are tacitly allowing the deadly abuse of others simply because they have ancestry from a different part of the world. Treatment that we would utterly reject if perpetrated on children that looked like us, spoke our language, shared our culture. That's racist. These behaviors, informed by harmful tradition, need to be full-throatedly and unapologetically called out as backwards, and we must demand that they are abandoned. Harmful traditions are only changed and left behind because they are forced to by the presence of and competition with better ideas. And I really wanted to say that because I think a lot of people that aren't involved in the issues that our community obviously cares about, like if you're part of our community, you're involved in these issues, you're cared about these issues, you already know, right? But a lot of people don't know. And the problem is if there are good-hearted people that in the name of not wanting to be xenophobic or wanting to be a misconstrued idea of multicultural, or if they don't want to be what they perceive to be racist or bigoted, they will try to excuse this or be like, oh, well, it's not because of, you know, this culture, and it's not because, or it's, you know, it's part of their culture, or then it's not part of religion. And they basically make excuses for it and they make exceptions for it, because these people come from a different part of the world than the dominant society. And if people do that, then they are not going to be part of the tide swell that is going to force change. And so the only way to create change that is going to over time ensure the safeguarding of children, we cannot make excuses. We cannot try to navigate this middle ground. Like, you have to just be no, this is unacceptable. No ifs, ands, or buts. How do you make child abuse acceptable? Or, oh, you know, just it's, you know, well, you know, that's part of their culture. That's how they are, blah, blah, blah. And this is supposed to be the well-meaning people. That's so racist. I really wanted to highlight this story because I want people to know that this does happen in the quote unquote Western world, that there are no excuses for it. And my thoughts about how, as a society, if you live like in my society or whatever, how we need to combat this. Those are my thoughts. I'm not going to let some girl be abused because she didn't wear hijab in a social media post. Oh, because, you know, that's where they come from, blah, blah, blah. No. She's a citizen in my country. She has rights. And I hope that the Texas authorities are ensuring that she's not being exposed to further violence. Because sometimes, you know, when CPS gets involved, and depending on who the child is placed with, the fact that the authorities are now involved can put them back in danger. Each situation is different, but I think she's in the care of Child Protective Services right now. So that was, Lucifer Christ is saying, really shocked these things happen in the United States. Thought things like this only happen in my country. Well, yeah, like I said, vulnerable people are abused wherever harmful traditions follow. And people bring harmful traditions from all over the world.
Right. So I want to respond to some comments. First of all, Newman had to go because this was triggering him because of the experience he himself had before. And no, I just wanted to highlight this so for people to know how real these experiences are. People have, you know, how common they are. Pakistan Defense Force is saying, when brown parents abuse their kids, it's because of religion. But when white parents do it, it's just bad people. It's very interesting that he's saying this on our show. This is a criticism. He's like, why are you blaming Islam, basically? Like, this is,
you know,
just
how many white people abuse their kids because of religion? It's a lot.
Yeah. Let me make my point, please. It's weird that he's saying this on our show, given that we have covered Christian parents beating their children for Christianity, and we have white Christian parents for years, and we have identified that being because of religion as well, you know, and especially when we have covered news where people were not, politicians were trying to stop laws being passed against beating children, where they cited the Bible, came and cited a Bible verse as an excuse. We covered that. So
that was maybe in the Oklahoma State Senate. People were saying, can we remove this part of the statute that allows you to use corporal punishment against disabled children? Let me be clear, right, guys. It was not even all children. It was, let's stop beating the disabled ones. And they were like, no, because the Bible tells me so. What?
Right. Like it's so stupid. Like, Pakistan Defense Force comes here with the worst takes on a show that we have consistently, again, we haven't been hypocritical like this. We have been calling out. I don't know why you don't notice how we try to be as consistent as possible, and I don't know why it's not being noticed by people like you. I don't understand. Also, Sheikha with a bad take here. Sheikha is saying, what I feel is that a lot of us here are more interested in Islam bashing than protecting the child from violence. I mean, why are you saying that here? When we are identifying Islam as a problem, is because you have to go to the source. If you want to protect the children, then you have to identify the cause instead of just, you know, how do you protect the how do you protect more children from being harmed like this? You have to understand what are the factors that is making this possible. What are the elements that needs to be fought against? It is because of religion. She's saying, my first empathy is the girl, and then some cultural backwardness. Well, if your empathy is with the girl, then you have to identify Islam as a problem, if you genuinely care about the victims. So there's that. And we got do you want to read the super chat?
Oh, we got a super sticker. Thank you, from SSSPPP. And then we also got a super chat from Gaysian American. Thank you, Gaysian, saying, is there a verse or hadith similar to the spare the rod, spoil the child? Which is a verse in the Bible.
Well, we have a wife beating verse in the Quran, chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse 34. Right? If you want me, I've showed this verse so many times, where Allah commands you to beat your wife. It doesn't even say that it's allowed.
I mean, it's not directly related to the children.
Well, he said similar. He didn't say exact. Oh, okay. So I was just telling you, there's wife beating. Yeah. Yeah. So there's, yeah, there's that.
When there's but also for the edicts, I think it, what I don't like about what I don't like about Abrahamic faiths is that they really promote this idea of the parents owning the children. Like, you see this in the Bible, you see this in Islam. It's like very clear that the parents own the children. And I think that's a very, very dangerous mentality, because it excuses and tacitly allows for a lot of abuse. And guys, please like this stream, because YouTube hates the A word, okay? And we've said it a lot. And this is important to cover, and we're not going to not talk about important things because of the algorithm gods, okay? So help us fight not only the theistic gods, but also the algorithm gods, and like this stream.
All right, so Zaid is saying there is a hadith that goes something like, hang the whip where your household fan sees it. So I don't know about this hadith, but Zaid is confirming that there is a hadith that is kind of, is promotes child abuse. And also, by the way, I just want to show how bad Pakistani Defense Forces takes are. So he's saying, Armin and Susanna, my mom beat me and I never thought it was abuse. It's called discipline. So see, Pakistan Defense Force is actually promoting child abuse. You see how, by the way, Pakistan Defense Force is not even a Muslim, but you say how Islam has rotted his mind. This is, he still thinks Islamically.
I don't even think this is an Islamic thing. I think this is, and I want to actually be compassionate here. A lot of people that have experienced assaults and abuse by their parents rationalize it to help make their experience manageable psychologically.
Well,
my parents beat me and I'm fine. Look at how I am. And you like look at them and you're like, but you're not fine though.
Yeah, and but the parents beating him.
I actually want to be really compassionate, because I'm sorry that you suffered assaults at the hands of your parents.
Continue to promote child abuse in the live chat, I will ban you. Just a warning for you.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I know. I'm sorry that your mom abused you as a child, and your mom is horrible for doing that to you. And I'm sad for you that that happened to you. But if you do continue to promote that, I will ban you. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. But well, I still think
if they beat you hard, then it's abuse. If it's a light beating, then it's not.
No, it's still abuse.
Yeah. So I think abuse. That's worthy of a ban.
Yeah. Also, what was I saying? It's still Islam. What you said is correct. It doesn't contradict what I said, because the mother, you know, this is in Pakistan. The mother was beating him. Like, look at where it started, and then eventually it led to what we're talking about here. Also, we got another super chat.
Oh, thank you. Reincarnation Entertainment gave us £5. Thank you. This is so sweet. He said, please consider donating, guys. These two are the best atheists. Well, you know, thank you. It's not a competition, but I will take it today, okay? Guys, this is a good reminder that Atheist Republic, is working towards financial security. So if you want to make sure that this show and this program can continue in the way that you love, consider becoming a monthly donor on PayPal. That's the best way to support us right now. And link to become a monthly donor is right in the description. And that would help us so much. And we got another super chat. Wow. Thanks for letting them come in, guys. Seed of Iblis is saying, use this donation to buy Armin his own Mr. Bean mug to match Susie's. Oh, we like my Rowan Atkinson mug. It says Babe Magnet. Hell yeah.
Listen.
Thank you.
We got another super chat from Gajan American. Did you see this one? Did you highlight
I didn't see this one. Asian American is saying, Chinese people own our kids too. A crying emoji, sweat smile emoji. Guys, let's remember parents do not own their children. They are not masters over their children. They are their guardians, but children have their own separate rights. They have rights. Right. Well, maybe not in all countries, but they should. They, international covenants say that they should have rights.
Yeah, let me just make something clear. So some people might think that showing that other non-Islamic cultures, like, you know, Christian culture, Chinese culture, that they also beat the children because of their backwardsness, because of their conservatism, because of them not progressing, this proves my point that Islam is responsible. It doesn't, okay? These are all affecting, you know, Islam, Christianity, you know, traditionalism in China. These are all slowing progress, right? So if it's traditionalism and conservatism in China, it's Islam in Pakistan. Whatever is standing in the way from a society progressing to higher standards, that in that society, that is what's causing these things to happen more often. In Pakistan, in Iran, in Bangladesh, that would be Islam. So this does not contradict what I'm saying.
Tradition takes many forms and many names.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, can we go to the next news?
Yeah, and I'm glad Newman is back, so we're about to talk about India. So now, guys, we can move into the fun stuff where we just kind of talk about atheists around the world, okay?
Nice. All right, so we can clap for this. It's, guys, we remember people keep thinking that when we cover India, we always have bad news, okay? Oh, is this good news? Can we say this is good news about India?
Well, I can frame it in many different ways. I think the good news is that Indian atheists are given a huge platform and profile in the Associated Press.
I'm just going to clap. Next news.
Next news. India's non-religious paradox. In a country with a millennia-old history of non-religious movements, most atheists and rationalists in India find it safer to remain silent about their skepticism, despite the nation's deep-rooted tradition of questioning and skepticism. Avinash Patel, a religious skeptic and leader of an anti-superstition group, comments on the shrinking space for debating religious authority and belief, attributing this to rising religious tensions and growing Hindu nationalism. While there is a global rise in the number of non-believers or nuns in India's non-religious, despite their historical significance, face challenges and risks in being vocal about their beliefs, especially amidst the recent surge of Hindu nationalism. Patil says, quote, "When you are open about it and engage in activism, it can get challenging and even dangerous. This sentiment captures the atmosphere as many, quote unquote, nuns still seek justice for the murder of rationalist Narendra Dabulkar a decade ago." So, one, let us celebrate the fact that Indian atheists got this huge profile in the Associated Press. I thought this was really cool. And this article dives into a lot of different stuff going on for Indian atheists. It has a significant amount of portion of it highlighting kind of Indian rationalists that fight against superstition. And this is one of my favorite things about the rationalist movement in India. Are their efforts to really combat skepticism? I mean, excuse me, superstition, because it reminds me of the work of James Randi. And obviously, like, the amazing Randi, his work against superstition and kind of supernaturalism is just so iconic. And so it's really cool for me to see kind of that work being carried on in a very different social context, right? And they also talk about how in this article, a lot of the kind of legal challenges that atheists face in India, mainly when it comes to getting your paperwork done. So there isn't really, the country doesn't officially recognize atheism or the non-religious. So if you're filling out your paperwork on like birth certificates or school admissions paperwork, there's delays in documents if you don't state your religion. So there are a lot of people that just fill out their religion in the checkbox for whatever background they came from, right? But there are organizations that are pushing for the government to actually allow just simple checkbox that says no religion. Then it went on to highlight how the non-religious movement has major influences on the anti-caste movement in India, and it has major influences both historically and in present in social justice causes for the standing of women, for the standing of tribals, etc. And then they kind of just went on to talk about kind of the day-to-day life of a lot of different atheists and some of the historical tradition of materialist belief in India. And then also it highlighted the story of, like I said, Narendra Dabholkar, who was an anti-superstition activist who was assassinated, and their efforts to get justice for him. And I don't know, I loved it. If you scroll through the article, there's actually a lot of really amazing photos in here. Liam is saying, love the Atheist Republic channel. Thank you, Liam. But yeah, Armin, what do you think about kind of the rise of non-religion in India?
Wait, so this is the guy, right? So I just want people to know what we're saying, yeah. So here are people. Look at the passion here. Look at the passion. Oh, my God. What is this picture saying?
Oh, this is just in a Ganesh festival.
Mm. This is, I think anything that happens in India is like 10 times everywhere else. And it doesn't get as much attention as it should. So I'm so happy AP, the Associated Press, is covering this.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say on these signs? Do you know?
Oh, this is a rally for Narendra, who was assassinated. This the guy in the middle is like the leader, the new leader of the anti-superstition group, and so they're having a march for him.
Oh, so what did you? Can you tell us a little bit about him and why he was killed?
Basically, I don't know too much about his background. I remember this was in Maharashtra, I believe. And so some time ago, I was reading about anti-superstition movements in Maharashtra, and I'm not 100% certain that the person I'm remembering is the same man. I think it is, though. And basically, he was just very strong in going after godmen who were abusive, and also documenting ways in which the tricks that godmen or religious figures will play on people, because, you know, they have all these kind of like little, essentially, for lack of a better term, they're like magic tricks, right? Little things that they can do that just look so crazy. And it looks like magic is happening in front of your face. So you're like, oh my gosh, this man must have some sort of authority or spiritual awareness or knowledge of something beyond me. Because look, he can do this trick that I can't explain or can't describe. And so he would basically do these almost like science experiments to show how, explain these like magic tricks that they do, and explain these little things that they can do that trick you into thinking that they have special powers, and explain them and be like, look, this person doesn't have supernatural powers. This is all completely explainable. This is all materialistic. And when you're showing how the magician does his tricks, that's obviously going to upset a lot of people that get their source of power and strength and income off of that. And so,
right. And
that can also be seen as deeply challenging of Hindu dominant norms, right? And so, not even norms, but maybe popular superstition. And yeah, that put a target on his back. He had enemies because of that.
Yeah, I think people don't understand how important atheist activists are, you know, secular, anti-superstition, and atheist activists are. It's a thankless form of activism, and India needs it badly. So, you know, if you're an atheist or a secular activist or a liberal activist in India, you know, just try to have... I hope you're having each other's backs, because you guys need each other. and your country needs you. You know, India is going to become, it is already, but it's going to become more and more of an economic superpower, right? So anything that slows down or just hinders that even by a little bit is affecting millions and millions of people more than any other country, right? So if you are an atheist activist in India, the contribution you're doing to the world is more than most people, right? Because, you know, the main thing that is standing between India and its progress, like India will progress no matter what, but that could be fast or it could be very fast, you know? Because a lot of people think just because India is progressing, that means that it's doing everything it could do. It's meeting its maximum potential. But you could progress and still fall short of what you could have, the speed at what you could have progressed. Like, there are a lot of missed opportunities. And you can see based on the politics of India, there's a lot of missed opportunities because of the government and the people being very religious, right? And how much religion, superstition, and conservatism is slowing down the progress of India in many different ways. So just know that every atheist activist or anything that is fighting superstition in India, you're doing a service to the future of India that is going to affect millions and millions of people. Even a tiny amount of contribution as an activist in India, you know, as big as India is, there's going to be way more people in the future that are people exist today or that they have been in the history of mankind. There's way more in our future than it has been in our past, right? So even you being an activist and just moving that needle just by a little bit, just a tiny bit, there are millions and millions of people in the future that should be grateful to you, right? So don't think like I'm a small activist, I don't have that much of an influence. You're making the lives of millions of people better just by that. So I just want to thank people who are in the front lines of fighting religion, especially in a country as big as India. So salute to you guys.
Salute. Indeed is saying, shout out to YouTube channels. Science is dope and rationable. Yes, guys, if you want to go support atheists, Indian atheists that are doing the hard work, that are actually doing the work of promoting this and bringing it to their communities, go check out these channels. Thank you, Dee, for remembering that, because I do always love to highlight the work of Indians who are challenging these norms, right? Diving into the taboo, it's not easy, guys. Gaijin American gave us a super chat saying thoughts, spelled THOTS. On Dr. Ambedkar's call for separate electorates for backwards castes. So my understanding is, and I will, for people who don't know, I'll read it very briefly. So during one period of time in his thoughts and activism, this is something he called for, and he said that separate electorates meant that only members of the Dalit community would vote for their representatives separate from the general electorate. He believed that this would give Dalits a voice in the political system and safeguard their interests. Now, my understanding is that his thoughts evolved past this, and he exchanged this formulation in favor of basically assimilation and bringing the Dalits upwards to assimilate into the broader society. So I could be wrong. I'm no historian, but my understanding is that his thoughts evolved past this.
The key thing is his intentions when he was looking for a different solution was to give, you know, the Dalits and other lower, what other people consider to be lower castes, as giving them a louder voice. So that was what he was trying to do,
right? yeah
Dr. Ambedkar was such a blessing to India. I hope more people,
that's a reminder, if you have diabetes, take care of your diabetes. We could have had this legend for much longer.
right see my obsession with health is now justified based on that, what you just
said. For those who are not familiar, like, backward caste is actually what it's called in the system. Like, that's not a pejorative word.
I would say a lot of India's progress right now, a lot of it, a big portion of it is because of Dr. Ambedkar. Is that an exaggeration, do you think?
That a lot of what is because of him?
A lot of India's progress is because India had Dr. Ambedkar.
I mean, I'm very biased, so I want to say yeah.
So he
is someone I admire so much.
Yeah, but so here's the thing. A lot of people think that we are anti-India because we're anti-Hinduism, okay? But the main guy, one of the founding fathers of India, the guy that was involved in writing the constitution, right? And the guy that is responsible for so much of what is great about India was in agreement with us. And he was anti-Hinduism. He was anti-Hinduism and anti-Islam at the same time. So
yeah. Yeah. Don't let anyone ever convince you that you are any less Indian or any less of like a contributing citizen within the nation because you are not religious. That's absurd. Some of the greatest social leaders in India were not only not religious, they were explicitly anti-Hinduism. So
Ayan is saying I'm correct. Yes, Armin, you are right. He played a huge role. So people from India are agreeing with me. Eric is saying, yes, Dr. Ambedkar created a semblance of modern state in what would have been a feudal hellhole. Okay, see? I think I'm not exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating, right? So it's patriotic for an Indian to be anti-Hinduism, okay? I would say, right? It's patriotic for an Israeli citizen to be anti-Judaism, and it's patriotic for an Indian citizen to be anti-Hinduism. Okay? It serves your country to fight against Hinduism. Okay. So can we... Do you want to add anything or should we clap?
No, this is fun. This next one is fun.
Okay. Next news.
Satanic temple holds devilish concert inside Indiana's state capitol building. Amidst the grandeur of Indiana's state capitol, Lucian Graves and his band Satanic Planet delivered a head-turning performance drawing in a mixed crowd from Satanists to state employees. This concert was not just a musical act, but a pointed protest against an earlier, quote-unquote, let us worship event spearheaded by Christian nationalist Sean Fuch. Fuch's, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, Fuch's religious gathering, which even saw Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch being prayed over, has been perceived by many as blurring the church-state boundary. In retort, Greaves took to the stage with songs like Unbaptism and an Unbaptism Ritual, emphasizing that if the doors were open for one religious perspective, they should be open for all. As he passionately declared, quote, when Suzanne Crouch opened the doors for Fuch, she opened the doors for Satanic Planet. Indiana's capital had certainly witnessed a day of unparalleled fervor and religious discourse. So, yeah, Zayd is saying, Hail Satan. Yeah, this is awesome. Armin, bring up the photos. I love this. This is freaking badass. This is a Christian nationalist's worst nightmare. Like, look at all these goth-ass people with, like, the black and white American flag. The black wings, the black robes, like this is about to be a sacrifice. Like it's just so good.
This is great.
It's very simple, guys. If you're going to have an event in your state capital where the upcoming candidate for governor is being prayed over in a public building, this is what comes with it. Freaking Hail Satan. So, yeah, the Satanic Planet had a concert inside the Indiana State Capitol building. It was free. You just got to come, hang out, watch a show. There were some Christian nationalists, or not even, maybe they weren't not necessarily Christian nationalists, but in reports that I read, there were some Christians that showed up and were, like, trying to pray in the corner. There was one guy that made, like, a small disturbance, and I think maybe he was removed. But yeah, shouts out and nothing but love and congratulations to, you know, the Satanic Temple for, you know, bringing Satan to Indiana at the highest level. You love to see it. And what I love is in the Satanic Temple's website where they talked about this news, they said that at the end, they played their song on baptism, and then they had an unbaptism ritual, which is basically to remove the baptism from people who were non-consensually baptized as infants. And it, according to the website, a substantial line soon emerged in front of the stage.
So Lucifer Christ is asking, what's the name of the band again?
The Satanic Planet.
The Satanic Planet. Okay. And how do you respond to Christopher here?
Christopher is saying, yes, I get the sentiment, but this will encourage those who need no encouragement even more. I'm not sure 100% what you mean by this. Like, are you saying that because, so Christian nationalists did this and then the Satanic Temple responded. So then are you saying, is this not going to have the Christian nationalists respond again? Well, maybe they actually have the freedom to do that. Just as much as the Satanic Temple has the freedom to do this.
No, I think what you don't understand is that this turns Christian nationalists into secularists, because when they opened the door to religion into, you know, the government and schools, they always think religion means Christianity. But as soon as they see Satanism come in as well, they're like, okay, now we see the point. Now we're in favor. We're immediately in favor of not having religion in government. So, I mean, that's the whole point of the Satanic Temple, to make Christians understand the value of secularism, right?
Mm-hmm.
And turns, yeah, the some of the most adamant Christians about activists that I've seen them turn 180 on this. Like, they mm-hmm. become secular activists. They want to immediately get religion out of school and out of, they become some of the most Christian people in the United States. I've seen them turn on this and become as secular as we are. Like, yeah, we need to keep religion out of everywhere. Like, this is like, they're coming for our kids. They're coming for
our
government.
And the Satanic Temple is the perfect vector to do this, because it actually is non-theistic. Versus if you try to do this with Islam, you would still get the same reactions from Christians probably, but we don't actually want Islam in schools, for example. Yeah. So, Zayd is saying this proves that you so-called atheists are, bring that comment back. Where did it go?
Oh, which one?
Oh my Zayd? God.
Oh yeah. Here.
That was so good. Yeah. This proves you so-called atheists know the Church of Christ deep inside you, and you're following the corruption of Satan. Hell yeah.
That's good.
And oh my gosh, we got some amazing super chats. I think we got another one from another super sticker from SSS. Thank you. Chris gave us a $20 super chat. Thank you so much, Chris. Saying, is it still quote unquote consensual if the baptized person was a minor? It depends on how much of a minor they are. You know, if you're an infant, obviously you can't consent. There are, you know, once you get older, I think there are conditions in which you could legitimately consent. But then again, there are so many instances, because there are other Christian sects where you don't get baptized until you're actually much older. Because the whole idea being is that they understand that you can't actually choose this if you're an infant. And so they want you to choose it when you're older. But then the problem is, of course, within a religious community, there can be a high degree of coercion to make children quote unquote consent to becoming baptized. So it's a tricky question. Blessed be he is saying, is Susanna a Christian? No, I am an ex-Catholic, which reminds me, because D was saying that she wants to get unbaptized. Yeah, I want to be unbaptized. And this that actually reminded me that I need to, if I go back to the church where I was actually baptized, I can fill out some, I can fill out some paperwork and like fight them to make me officially no longer a member of the Catholic Church. It takes a little bit of work, but I think I should do it. Don't include me in your statistics.
We should celebrate that.
How can I get uncircumcised? Yeah, I don't think we have reconstructive surgery for that kind of thing. I'm sorry, my friend. This is a friendly reminder to everyone that circumcising your baby boys is genital mutilation. Don't do it. It's bad.
Right.
Can I read one final quote from the Satanic Temple about this event? Because I thought it just summed it up.
Yes. Perfectly.
Okay. So here's a quote from Lucian Greaves about the event. When Suzanne Crouch opened the doors for Fuchs, she opened the doors for the Satanic Planet. And whether you are here as a Satanist or in opposition to us, you should be proud that we still live in a nation where we can practice our own religious beliefs as we see fit, where the government isn't imbued with the authority to dictate our beliefs to us. A nation where these public grounds are equally available to us all. I'm like, hell yeah, that's like the most American thing I've heard today. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. All right. Yeah, guys, put a Hail Satan in the live chat. It helps the channel when you comment.
Hail Satan, hail yourself.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Should we read that other comment or no? Because I thought it was funny. No?
No, let's go. Let's move on to the next news.
All right, okay. Can we clap for the next news?
Yeah, we can clap. We're just gonna kind of discuss a controversial issue.
Okay. I'm gonna put myself down. I'll be right back. Okay. So just give me a second. Next news. One second. Oh, there.
Next news: the caste bill that split California's Hindu community. On October 7th, 2023, California's Governor Gavin Newsom vetoed a bill that sought to explicitly outlaw caste-based discrimination, a topic that gained traction following events like CasteCon and the legal case surrounding Cisco Systems in California. If passed, California would have been the pioneer U.S. state to enact such legislation, especially considering institutions like Brandeis University and the California State University System have already incorporated caste into their anti-discrimination policies. The bill's intent was to protect individuals, especially Dalits, from bias in housing, education, and the tech sector. Newsom defended his decision, referencing existing provisions in California's laws that cover discrimination on grounds such as sex, race, religion, and more, deeming the bill, quote unquote, unnecessary. The debate over caste discrimination and its implications, including concerns about inadvertently reinforcing caste distinctions or further stigmatizing the U.S. Hindu community, has deeply divided the Indian American community. Events like CasteCon and representatives from Hindu organizations express apprehensions about potential biases against Hindus and people of Indian descent due to such legislation. So this is going to be controversial amongst our audience. This is going to be controversial amongst our audience. So, Armin, we have previously talked about how there were these this proposed legislation in California. We talked about how it was proposed and its status as it moved through the House, and also the high degree of threats that the state assembly is she a senator or a state assembly member? I don't know. Aisha Wahab is the legislator who introduced this legislation, and she received an insane amount of threats for doing so. So we've talked about all this, and so the conclusion is that it actually passed through the state assembly, and then when it reached the governor's desk, the governor refused to sign it and he vetoed it. And I thought this was worth discussing. And I don't know, do you have any initial reactions to this? Because I have some thoughts.
So wait, has this been, so this is going into, what is this going to get passed?
No, it's dead.
Like, is this going to be?
It's dead.
It's dead. Okay, okay.
Because it was passed the state assembly, which means that it passed through all the bodies of government. That, like, they all, well, not all bodies, but you know, the relevant bodies approved it. And then when it was time for the governor to sign it into law, he, vetoed it.
So he says, because discrimination based on caste is already prohibited under these existing categories, this bill is unnecessary. I mean, isn't the point of a bill like that to put higher attention and emphasis on a discrimination, not even if it is already covered by another law? Isn't that the whole point? Like, that's not enough reason to, what do you think?
Well, my understanding, and I don't even know if this is what the activists fighting for this would say, but again, this is me, is that it's like to actually make sure that people know that this is covered, right? In a legal setting. And I have to be completely honest, as I've learned more about this, my opinion has started to change.
Mm-hmm.
And this is partially because, especially with the case of the two of the Cisco employees that have been accused of caste discrimination, that case against Cisco was dropped due to lack of evidence. And part of what I think is a very a legitimate concern of the plaintiff, or excuse me, the defendant in that case, one of the defendants who was accused of caste discrimination, took great issue with the fact that in the case levied against him by the CRD, which is the relevant body, I can't remember what it stands for in California, that he was repeatedly described in the lawsuit as being a Hindu or an upper caste Hindu. And he's like, I'm not actually a Hindu. Like, I'm non-religious. Why are you asserting that I'm a Hindu? And I actually think that, and that doesn't mean that you're, just because you're non-religious, that you cannot perpetuate caste discrimination. Of course you can. But I do think it is concerning with that case in particular, that the state is asserting the religious beliefs of one of its citizens. When they're asserting, like, this is not even what I believe. If someone did that to me, I'd be like, how dare you assert what my religious belief is? That's simply not true. And so with that particular case, I think that is concerning. And then when it comes to this legislation in general, I was reading a lot of articles about this on Religion News Network. And what I thought was really interesting was they had a whole article about how there was this caste con. And you would think that the caste con, which happened in Fremont, California, in NorCal, fairly recently, it's caste con. Oh, it sounds like a bunch of people who are there to oppose caste discrimination. Caste con was actually about people coming to have a conference about opposing anti-caste discrimination policies, and several of the organizations that were involved in this caste con were actually Bedcarite organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing some of the prominent prominent activists against this legislations be Bahujan, be Dalit, or not even Dalit, or like part of prominent Bedcarite organizations, and they were voicing major concerns over this organization, I was like, that really caught my attention. That really caught my attention. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that there's been, well, actually, I'm not going to get into Equality Labs. Equality Labs is always cited for Dalit-based discrimination, and I think there are major flaws within their methodology of gathering information. So what do you make of my thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it seems like it's not as simple as people make it sound to be. Like, I think, like, look at this. Blue Rain is saying no true Ambedkarite organization would oppose anti-discrimination bill. I mean, no, that's not true. If it's done poorly, if it's not helping, like this, I think this is a very simplistic view. I think, like, obviously Susanna cares about being anti-discrimination.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, obviously, like, it seems like she's done her research. Even if you disagree with her, you could still disagree with the way something is being executed over its details. Like, you could be against, for example, racism or being anti, I don't know. You could be pro-peace and look at a form of legislation that is trying to promote peace, and you think that it's being done poorly, or it's not being, it's going to do more harm than good, and be against it, even though you are still for peace. Like, I don't understand why people think that just because something has a label on it that claims to be able to do good, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to do good. Like, that's a very simplistic analysis. And I think, like, even if you're wrong, Susie, I think that you did your best to go and look at the details, and the fact that you have changed your opinions about this, it shows that you're trying to be honest and transparent about how you're thinking about this. So
I haven't even come to a conclusion. I haven't even come to a solid opinion. I'm just saying that I've learned more, and now I have more questions. It really is that simple. I'm not making any prescriptions or dictates at this time. I'm just like, you know, there are things that I've learned now that have caused me to have more questions. I'm not as certain as I was before, and that's normal.
Right.
And I have no shame in doing that, guys. I'm actually trying to, like, model behavior that I think more people should have. I'm like, you know what? I'm less certain about a position I had before. That's okay. And also, especially certain organizations like Equality Labs are always talking about caste equity. That always raises major red flags for me, because equity is about equality of outcome. And there is no way to ensure equality of outcome that isn't authoritarian. But that's just me and my personal principles and convictions, that word raises red flags for me, but that's just me.
No, I think it's very good. That's very good. That we're not being certain about something is a good sign usually.
And you know what? What I thought was really interesting. Yeah. This is my last thought about these many articles I read about this, is that both sides, no matter what side you're on in this issue, are talking about how this is an unprecedented level of what's the word I'm looking for? Like, political energy from the Indian American or Hindu American community. And I thought that was really interesting. Basically, this is a tide shift in the way that they organize. And in a way, I thought it was really cool to see. It's like, because this is what my country is about. They want to get active. They want to get activated about something. And we've seen them get organized in a way that they previously have never organized before. And both sides, no matter if they were successful or not, saw that as a win. So I thought that was cool. There were a few. Topher is saying Susanna is a true agnostic in the best and most complete sense of the term. Well, thank you. I try to be. I'm not always, but when I catch myself feeling extra certain about something, that's actually a red flag for me. When I feel myself being, like, so certain and brittle in my opinion, to me, I actually stop and I'm like, you need to take a step back.
That's true.
Other I've people seen see that and like, I know I'm right. I see that as a warning.
No, but that's true. Like, even behind the scene, when we're not doing a show, sometimes Susanna comes and she's very, very certain about something. And then later on, she comes back and she wonders about, you know, even in our private talk, I completely see that. That's pretty true. That's a pretty accurate description.
All right, we got a comment, Iona, saying, why is it controversial among Atheist Republic audience? Well, because we have a significant amount of our audience that is Indian or Indian ancestry. And this is a very heated discussion. This is a very heated discussion on both sides of the issue. And I mean, we have people, you know, that are going to think that I'm now like anti-dollar or something, or forecast hierarchy, because I'm like, I'm not sure about this. And then there are going to be people who are like, you want to destroy Hindu Americans, you big. There's no way to win when it comes to talking about this. So I'm like, you're taking a risk. But yeah. People who, you know, are members of our audience and know us know that we, you know, are really trying to engage in these things in good faith, to the best of our ability. Gajan American gave us a $5 super chat. Thank you, Gajan. Saying, are there any Dalit CEOs? The CEO of Google and Adobe are Brahmins. Kamala Harris and Vivek Ramaswamy are Tamil Brahmins.
That's a good question.
I don't know if there are any Dalit CEOs. Well, and also, what kind of CEO? Are you just talking about like Fortune 500 companies? Like, what are we talking about? Like CEOs of a nonprofit? Sure. Like, but I don't like the framing in general, no matter the identity group, that just because there is a lack of representation of a certain group in any given field, in any given profession, that by definition means that because there is not that representation there, the answer is racism or discrimination. Because I don't think that's necessarily true. I don't think that's necessarily true. That there.